Welcome into PFT Live. It's August 1, and as our Greek friends would say, Kolomina, have a good month. And it's 1 month and a few days away from the real NFL action to start. Until then, we're still here at Saints training camp, White Sulphur Springs, West Virginia, home of the Greenbrier. We got plenty of Saints interviews coming up. But before we get to that, it's time for some other business, and they got business done in Seattle. Marshawn Lynch, star running back, back in the fold after a holdout of about a week or so. And they didn't give him any new money. They didn't want to tear up his contract, but they moved some money around. About $1 million that maybe he would have earned, maybe he wouldn't have earned this year, he now will earn. Also borrowed $500,000 against next year's salary, moved it to this year. Next year becomes the hot spot. Will the Seahawks extend his contract? Will they move on from Marshawn Lynch? Will he decide to retire? Will he hold out again? For now, though, everything is good. They're back together. And the only question that lingers is whether or not they will force him to pay the fine money that he racked up while he was out. One side says they won't. One side says they will. We'll see how that plays out. We may never know the answer to that question, because typically, if a player's fines are forgiven, they don't publicize that to the rest of the team because they don't want other guys to feel like they can hold out and have their fines ultimately forgiven. There's no forgiveness yet. There's no anything between the San Francisco 49ers and coach Jim Harbaugh. He's entering the next to last year of his contract. He's still got two more years, but he's moving closer toward becoming a free agent. And maybe he will be a free agent 2 years from now. There won't be any further discussion on a potential new contract until after the 2014 season. That's what owner Jed York had to say on Yahoo Sports Live, CSN Bay Area this week. And what that means is, when we get to the end of the season, there may be other teams that call the 49ers, teams that know they are moving on from their current head coaches, teams that will be in the market for a new head coach. They may decide, let's see what we could maybe give the San Francisco 49ers to get Jim Harbaugh if they're not able to work out a long-term deal that would keep Jim Harbaugh in San Francisco. It almost happened last year with the Browns. I know some people think it almost didn't even come close to happening. There were serious discussions between the 49ers and the Browns. There will be even more serious discussions between the 49ers and other teams if a new deal isn't done immediately after the season. And keep in mind the possibility of Harbaugh leaving to go back to college. I think that's in play as well. What's in play for the Dallas Cowboys and Tony Romo is that he's not going to be playing much in the preseason. On one hand, you've got Dr. Jerry Jones saying that Tony Romo is 100%. On the other hand, they're not going to play him. Here's the reality. They know he's healthy. They know he's recovered from that back surgery, but they want to keep him healthy. They're concerned about that next tweak of the back, that next hit that knocks a disc loose. And that could come at any time. If not the preseason, it could come in the regular season, and that next hit could be the one that ends Tony Romo's career. That's the one reality that we have to keep in mind with the Dallas Cowboys going forward. At some point, sooner rather than later, Tony Romo may not be the quarterback of that team ever again. And if it happens this year, Brandon Whedon is the guy who will be taking Romo's place. Lastly, in Baltimore on Thursday, Ray Rice spoke to the media for the first time since he was suspended for two games. And my general reaction to Rice's comments, they sounded good, but they're late. This is something that should have happened back in March or April or at the latest May, that Friday before Memorial Day weekend, when Rice had a press conference. It involved no questions from the press. Makes it not really a press conference. And also his wife up on the stage apologizing for her role in him knocking her out. A shameful display at the time. That's when Rice should have met the media. That's when he should have answered questions. That's when he should have given a heartfelt apology. Now it seems contrived. Now it seems like a PR effort. The good news, if there is any, is that the Baltimore Ravens apparently have begun to figure out that their PR approach to this Ray Rice thing was not good. This is the first encouraging sign that we've seen. But meanwhile, the debate will continue as to whether or not the NFL went far enough. Actually, there's no debate. Nobody disagrees. The NFL didn't go far enough with Ray Rice. Is there anything that's going to happen after the fact? Probably not. But I'd hate to be the next guy who's due for a suspension from NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell after the backlash he received for not going hard enough on Ray Rice. When we come back, we're going to go hard on some Saints interviews. We have five of them. I can't remember if we've ever had a six-segment edition of PFT Live, but we've got the full slate of interviews that were put in the bank yesterday. There's the list of all the guys. When we come back, we will be talking with second-year safety Kenny Vaccaro. After Kenny Vaccaro, Cam Jordan, first-round pick in 2011, joins the program. Then a guy who was undrafted but has made a major impact on the New Orleans Saints, Pierre Thomas, running back of that organization, will be joining us. Next, franchise quarterback Drew Brees. Then Marcus Colston, who's been around since 2006, came in as a seventh-round receiver. A full show. We got a lot to cover, and we'll get to it right away with Kenny Vaccaro after the break. Stick around. This is PFT Live. Welcome back to this special supersized edition of PFT Live from Saints training camp at the Greenbrier in White Sulphur Springs, West Virginia. It's time to start downloading the various interviews we did yesterday. We're going to start with safety Kenny Vaccaro, first round pick in 2013, injured late in the year. He's healthy. He's ready to go. Here he is from yesterday at Saints camp. Here we are back at Saints training camp with 49ers quarterback Colin Kaepernick.
Come on, man.
You like that one, don't you?
Man, I get it all the time, man. I'm trying to break that, man. Coming to my own, you know?
Yeah, but how often do people come up to you and say you're Colin Kaepernick?
In New Orleans, not as much now, but if I'm anywhere else, sometimes they'll say they see the light skin, tats, and they say it, but I'm over it now.
Well, now you're ready to come into your own, so they're going to start saying to Kaepernick, you're Kenny Vaccaro.
I mean, that's the goal.
And you had a big impact last year. What do you do this year to build on your rookie season?
I just keep that momentum. I mean, I got hurt like the last game. But I'm back. OTAs went well. It's already been a big jump mentally from last year to this year, and I'm playing a lot faster. So I think the biggest thing with me is to create more turnovers, make more big plays to really complete my game.
And your new teammate, Jarius Byrd, comes from Buffalo. You've got Rafael Bush still on the team. You got some good safeties. Jarius Bush saying maybe you guys are the better safeties than even the Seahawks. How do you feel the Saints' safeties stack up with the best in the league?
I mean, I think we're right up at the top. I mean, I think Bush can start anywhere. He pushes me every day in practice. Sometimes when I make the wrong play or something, I'm like, dang, Bush could take my spot. He's that good. And Byrd, obviously, everybody knows his resume. But, yeah, I think we're right at the top, man, us three. I don't think anybody has three safeties of that quality.
And the defense, so much better last year. I know you weren't part of it in 2012, but a big part of the team's success last year. What needs to happen this year for the defense to continue to improve like it did last year?
Well, to get where we want to go, like I said, I think it's all about turnovers, getting Drew Brees the ball back. Our coaches always put up a stat, man. Turnover differential is one of the biggest stats in the NFL today. And we just got to progress. We got to get more picks, more strips. Every sack, we need to get a forced fumble instead of just getting the sack. And I think that'll take us to the next level.
Do you feel like the Saints don't get the respect they deserve? Everybody talks about the Seahawks and the 49ers and Colin Kaepernick and this guy and that guy. And it's, you know what? The Saints, they beat the Eagles in Philly in the playoffs, gave the Seahawks everything they could handle. The Saints are a team that could maybe rise up. Do you do you like being off the radar?
Yeah, man. It's always – I mean, you got a chip on your shoulder being the underdog. And, I mean, those guys, they've been to the Super Bowl. 49ers went. Seahawks won it. So they get credit where it's deserved. But, I mean, we're progressing, though, and we're trying to get better.
You got a rookie first-rounder this year. You were the rookie first-rounder last year. This year it's Brandon Cooks. A lot of buzz about him. What have you seen from him so far at receiver?
He's just, to me, man, it's just route recognition, his route running skills. When a DB has him locked up, maybe he wiggles in, finds the hole. He's just so smart. He's so polished. And that's the biggest thing for me from a rookie, seeing from him.
Offense overall, I mean, how much more pressure does it put on the defense? And I guess the better question is, how much better does it make your defense when you're dealing with Drew Brees and the rest of the offense in practice?
I mean, our offense is so dynamic. They do so many different things that when we play a different team that is not as good, it's a lot slower. It's easier. It's easier to make plays because you're not going against Drew Brees. He's always going to make the right throw. He's going to find the right place to put the ball.
Now, you told me before we started that you follow the Pro Football Talk Twitter feed, that you read our stories, and, you know, we're in the business of creating news, so give me something. Give me something that'll make a good headline, a good quote from Kenny Vaccaro. The Saints will win I guarantee the Saints will win the Super Bowl this year. Something like that.
I don't know, man.
How about the Saints? I guarantee the Saints will win. I'm giving it to you. I guarantee the Saints will win the Super Bowl.
I guarantee the Saints win the Super Bowl.
There we go.
Year.
He said it. He said it. Book it. Print it. All right, Kenny.
Great talking
to you, buddy.
I appreciate
Good
it.
Good luck.
Man. Thank you.
That was Saints safety Kenny Vaccaro when we return. One of the more colorful personalities on the Saints roster joins the program, defensive end Cam Jordan. He'll be with us after the break. This is PFT Live. Welcome back to PFT Live, rolling through the many interviews that we did yesterday while the dulcet tones of Eminem play in the background. Something far less noisy coming up, our interview with Cam Jordan, Saints defensive lineman, coming up right now on PFT Live. So, Cam, here we are, West Virginia, for training camp. What are your thoughts after a week or so away from Louisiana and all the heat and humidity?
You know, we're finally setting the tone. We're finally getting to having pads on. We're finally flying around on both offensive and defensive side of the ball. And I think that's what's really going to count. I mean, we're starting to really push towards being in camp and actually knowing plays and being able to hit and going through progression of being an actual football player. It's just You know, you finally got pads on.
And you came to the NFL after the labor deal changed the intensity of training camp. Is the right balance out there, you know, to get enough hitting in, enough work on fundamentals, but also protecting the health and safety of the players?
Sure. I mean, I don't know what it was like beforehand because, like you said, I came in during that lockout year, but I know that when we come out here, it's focused. We're determined to get better in all aspects of the game, and I think it gives us ample enough time to be better. Now, as a D lineman, I always want pads on because, I mean, with or without pads, I'm still going to try and find a way to hit somebody, but that's just our nature.
Any fights yet?
Don't know what you're talking about.
Will you start one tomorrow? We're going to be here.
I've got nothing for you.
What would it take for you to punch somebody other than me?
I have no comment. I plead the fifth.
What would it take for you to punch me?
I don't know. How many times are you going to ask me to punch somebody?
What would it take for you to punch him? No, but it's I know it gets intense. How do you restrain? You know, you're hitting the same guys all the time. You're seeing the same guys all the time. Does it get to a point where it just gets under your skin? You just want to hit somebody else?
I mean, luckily we have a preseason game coming up next week. But till then, I'm happy, perfectly happy hitting somebody every day. I mean, I get to put on my helmet. I get to come out. I get to go to work. And that's what makes me happy. I mean, what else can I do other than be a part of the Saints and the great organization that it is and be a part of the great defensive team that we've become and are becoming? So I'm pretty excited about where we're going, and we just got to put in that work every day.
What happened from 2012 to 2013? Defense was horrible in 2012, all due respect.
Ouch.
2013, defense was great. But defense was great. Ouch. I mean, I followed it with the compliment. I gave you the pillow.
I appreciate it.
Defense great last year. What you were here for it. What caused the difference in the defense last year?
Again, as you know, we had Rob Ryan come in, and he really changed the defense around. And I think it was a lot of different things. Just everything was clicking a little bit easier. He made things a lot more available to us as far as defensive schemes. So I think that's what sort of helped us out in the long run. And now we've got him back for a second year, and that's the first time since I've been a part of the Saints team that we had a D coordinator for a second year. And I'm pretty excited about that one.
How much better will the defense be this year?
I can't say. I know that they're working hard every day, and that's what we're doing. We're just in here to put in an amount of work that we need to put in, and everybody's giving it all they got, and that's at the end of the day, that's all that you have to give.
When people talk about NFC teams, the best NFC teams, it's always Seahawks 49ers, Seahawks 49ers. How much does that bug you?
That doesn't bug me at all.
Oh, come on.
At the end of the day, it's all about our team, and if we can get to be the best that we can be, we're not worried about anybody else.
Are the Saints overlooked?
I think that even if we are overlooked, that's where we want to be. Honestly, it's not about all the hype. It's about the work that you put in. So come this first game, we set precedence, we set this tone, and then we can go from there.
First franchise road playoff win at Philly. You guys gave the Seahawks all they could handle in Seattle. How much will that help week in and week out playing on the road this year?
That's last year, and that's where we're going to leave it. It's last year. I mean, that's not going to get us any more wins in 2014, so we're going to work on the preseason game, what we need to work on, and come game one, we're going to be ready.
Who caught your attention in camp? Somebody new that you're like, wow, hey, this guy's going to be pretty good.
We had some talent come up. I mean, we had Clyde or Tyron Walker, who was hurt last year, come in. He's back to being healthy. Glenn Foster looks like he's going to be a pretty good, solid nickel third down guy. And as far as young guys, there's this kid Virgil Lawrence and Goku. Uh-oh, his name is. We can't give these kids
what number
names.
Is he? Just go with the number.
71.
There you go. That's close enough.
Ish. I mean, George Uko. So, I mean, defensive line, they're looking like we got pretty good talent coming up, and that's really exciting. I mean, to have some young guys. And really, when I came in, it was a whole bunch of old heads. It was a whole bunch of older guys that had been in the league and already established, and you sort of just fell into their groove, and you sort of just learned their way. But now with this young group, I mean, everybody's pushing themselves to get that much better. I mean, everybody's just young. Everybody's 20, 21 to 25 right now. And you're really pushing each other just to get better every day. And that's what you want.
And there's a real business aspect to the NFL. You're getting closer and closer to the end of your rookie contract. Have you given thought where you want to be long term? Is this the team you want to be with?
I'm really focused on this year, honestly. This year has just got to be the best year that we've had thus far. We've gotten close to the Super Bowl. Twice now. I mean, we've gotten about as close as it is, and I think we can be that much better of a team this upcoming year and strive to be where we need to be this year.
What's the craziest thing you've heard Rob Ryan say that you can repeat on a camera?
Nothing. I plead the fifth. He's a rock star. That's all that matters. He's a rock star.
Well, you're a rock star, too. We appreciate you taking a few minutes with us. There he is, Cam Jordan, Saints defensive lineman. That was Cam Jordan. He was a first-round pick of the Saints back in 2011. When we come back, we'll talk to a guy who wasn't drafted at all, but he's been with the team since 2007. Pierre Thomas, Saints running back, joins us after the program. This is PFT Live. PFT Live keeps going and going and going today. Here's another interview taped on Thursday. And this is a good one, not that the other ones were bad, but Pierre Thomas, Saints running back, here he is, talking to me yesterday at Saints camp. Well, here we are, Pierre. It's training camp number 8 for you. What's the biggest difference between being here in West Virginia versus being in Louisiana?
I have to say the weather. The weather out here is beautiful. I mean, it's close to high 70s, mid 70s, and I mean, you can breathe. You see what I'm saying? You can breathe a little bit out here in New Orleans. Everybody knows how it is in New Orleans, that humidity. It gets to you, it's hard to breathe. And I say that with that heat index and, you know, the humidity together, it just tears you down a little bit. You know, you don't get a chance to perform to the best as you want because you're so tired, because you're trying to catch your breath. You know, the sun is beaming on you, that heat is really hitting you. But out here, the weather's beautiful. But don't get me wrong, I still miss the fans out there, being in New Orleans and, you know, being close to home and just hearing the fans cheering for you. And, I mean, I hear the fans here now in West Virginia. I'm kind of shocked that we have a lot out here, but, you know, they keeping hope alive for us. I mean, they keep us going through the practices.
A lot of Saints fans here in West Virginia, a lot of people excited that you guys are here. And a lot of Saints fans, I think, excited about this team. You have been on, this will be the 8th different edition of a Saints team. How does this one so far compare to the other Saints teams you've been on?
As I see this one unfolds, I mean, these guys show a lot of focus. Show a lot of attitude that they want to be champions. And I'm not saying I haven't seen that in the past years. I mean, I've seen it in 09 when we won the Super Bowl. But, I mean, I see it again. You see, I see the desire in these guys' eyes. I see it on the field, too. These guys really put themselves down when they make a mistake out there. You know, some guys are usually, if they make a mistake, they'll just say, okay, I messed up. No, these guys really, you know, they really take it to heart. And you see the focus in their eyes. You see the attention, the details that when the coaches explain something to them, they really pay attention and they really try to get a grasp of it and to do better the next snap. I never see any guys here that hold on to that same mistake that they made that one pass play. They move forward and they keep going. And that's what you want to see, you know, especially as a vet now. You want to see those younger guys do that because you know when you've been in this game for so long, well, once you mess up, you got to move on because there's plenty of plays to go. You can make it up from there. And I see that a lot.
That's one thing that kind of epitomizes your career. You keep going and you keep going and you came in undrafted. When you reflect back on that 2007 training camp, I mean, when you were in that moment, did you have any idea that this is all going to work out? I'm going to make this team. I'm going to be part of this team. I'm going to be a cornerstone of this offense for years to come.
At first, no. But I had that in the back of my mind. You know, that was my drive. That was my goal. That's the way it kept pushing me, saying, hey, I'm going to make this team. I never expressed it out loudly to anybody, but I told myself in the back of my mind that you're going to make this team. You're going to be on this team. Think positive. Always go out there and show these guys that you want to be here. You want to play with this team, and you know, and everything else will handle itself. And that's what happened. You know, I left everything else in God's hands, and He took control, and I'm here. And as 8 years going, and I'm continuing to keep going.
And the Saints used that running back rotation. How much has that helped you extend your career longer than it would have been if you'd have been a guy getting the ball 25 times a game, every game, week in and week out?
I think it helped out a lot. In the past, you see a lot of those guys, you know, Marshall Faulk, like those type of guys, you know, they carry the ball a whole lot. You know, they took a whole lot of roles, you know, the load, that hit, you know, they're constantly hitting on them, their bodies. It's a lot of wear and tear. You know, I think in the past where they say only running backs, only the average is 3 years, is because, you know, so many reps, you get a lot of hits, you know, a lot of pounding, a lot of beat on your body, it's a lot of wear and tear, you know. But this little rotation that we have, I feel that it helps out, you know. It helps you out to extend your career, and it also helps you out to save your body a little bit and get fresh legs in the game. I feel that, you know, once I run if I have a play to myself, is a run play, I break a few tackles and I get maybe 10-15 yards. You get a little winded from that. You get a little winded. I'm not going to lie. You do get a little winded from it because it's a lot of struggles, a lot of fight that you're using. And you're using every muscle in your body to get that extra yards, to do that fighting. And you get a little tired. And one thing I don't want to do is I don't want to be
70% out there on that field. Knowing I got somebody on the sidelines that's 100%, his legs are fresh right now. If I know I can't give my 100% on that next play, let's bring another guy in. These are my teammates. Everybody wants to be successful. Everybody wants to do the right thing. Why not get these guys in, get them in, be a part of the action? Because it's not just I in this sport. It's team. I want my teammates to go in and do a good job. Just like if I'm in it, they want me to do a good job. So I want these guys to go in, be fresh, you know, have a fresh rotation, get fresh legs in there, because I think it put a lot more pressure on the defense. You know, they are a little bit tired because their defense don't exchange as much as offensive guys. We exchange a lot with different personnels, different groups. You see receivers going in all the time, you know, after they run long routes. But I think it's good for running backs, you know, to get fresh legs in there and get a different guy in there with different skill level, different talent.
One of your teammates at running back, Darren Sproles, now with Philadelphia. How much different will that running back position be, the meeting room, everything about the tailback position without Darren on the team?
I mean, it's not going to be that much difference. I'll tell you that. I mean, we do miss Sproles. Sproles was a big asset, just like we missed when we had Reggie. Reggie was a big aspect to this team. And the person that's going to step up, and I believe that's going to take control, and he could have done that last year too, is Travaris Cadet. He's a agile, quick guy. I mean, he could do the same. He's a little bit taller than Sproles, could take some more hits. I mean, but he knows that role. He knows that role very well. I know it very well because I've been here throughout the years. I've been here for so long, and I studied it. I made sure I knew everything on that field, mostly everybody's position, just in case, you know, something happens. If we need a guy, I mean, I know that role. I know the offense. I could probably step up and take contribute to that role. But I say Cadet, he was made for that role, and I believe that he will have an outstanding year this year as long as he stay in the playbook and really focus on what his assignments are. I see him as one of those guys who's going to step up and take over Sproles' role.
Which new guy on the team, either side of the ball, offense or defense, has caught your eye the most so far in camp?
So far, I say Cooks caught my eye on the offensive side. He's an explosive guy. I mean, he got good hands so far I've seen, and I mean he's a guy that shows you he's ready to learn and to improve his game and to step up to this level. You know, coming out of college, you know, a rookie, you know, this is a big change. You know, I've been there too. Everybody knows how big of a change it is, the speed and the mentality that you got to have. It's more mental work than anything, and I see that he's stepping up a lot to the plate. Defensive wise, I mean you got so many guys. I still see Kenny Vaccaro doing a great job out there, you know, as safety. I mean, he's delivering some hits. Our linebackers are doing a heck of a job of, you know, shedding blockers and getting to us on run plays. I mean, but overall, I think everybody's on the defensive side is doing a great job. You know, you got the DBs who's been stepping up tremendous, giving Drew a headache out there. Seeing Drew get frustrated a few times out there, you know, trying to get his passes right in the right spot. And the DBs just making unbelievable plays. And, I mean, that's what you want to see. You want to see your defense, you know, putting a great quarterback like Drew himself in that type of position. You know, just to know you'll feel more comfortable and say, okay, hey, our defense is getting Drew frustrated. I know he's going to get these other quarterbacks in the league frustrated.
And Drew continues to be one of the great quarterbacks. You guys have one of the great offenses. The defense has gotten better. Yet when we talk about the best teams in the NFC, it's always Seahawks 49ers, Seahawks 49ers. Does that bug you, or is it kind of like, okay, fine, go ahead, think it's going to be them, we'll take care of our business, and we'll see who's the best?
That's what it is. I mean, yeah, everybody has their favorite. Everybody, you know, says, you know, this team is that. We sit back, we be quiet, but when it all comes down, we show everybody what we're capable of doing. I mean, we've been in the playoffs, you know, in a run since I've been here. You know, it's only a few times we haven't made it to the playoffs, but I see this team is always making it to the playoffs, always, you know, striving to be the great and to make it to that big show. And that's what we're all about. You know, we're trying to build champions here. And I see everybody is focused on that and is on the ride.
Drew says he's going to play until he's 45. How long is Pierre Thomas going to play?
Ooh, I don't know if I can play that long. It may him get
this rotation, who knows? Yeah, maybe this rotation is the
way
to go.
He doesn't take as many hits as I do. Before you can say that, I got to let him play a little bit of running back. Let me play a little quarterback, you know, one day, and I'll let him decide his answer off of that.
Hey, speaking of hits, I'd like to see a fight while I'm here. I'm here for another. Will you start a fight tomorrow?
You didn't see one?
Was there one today? Yeah, did I miss it?
It was one.
Really?
It was one. I mean, there's little altercations. I mean, when you get guys who love to compete, you know, put them in pads, and it's a aggressive sport like this, you're going to see a few altercations. I mean, there's no hard feelings. Guys make up back in the locker room, but you want to do the right thing. I mean, your attention's going, you're aggressive, and I mean, you might slip up, you know, you might get into a little altercation out here for a quick second. You break that up, and the next, you know, guys back in there, like, man, my bad. You're shaking hands, and you see that in the locker room. You don't see that on the field because we're more focused on moving on to the next play. But when we get in the locker room, they're back friends. I mean, they say, man, it's sorry. It just got to me that time in the moment. I was really down on myself. I was more focused than anything, and my frustration just took over. I mean, and then guys make up, and it's like, no, don't worry about it, man. We know how it is. Everybody gets like that.
So what do you expect for the team this year?
I expect, you know, these guys giving it their all every game. I expect that. I see it. I can see it now, you know, as we're practicing, you know, out here in West Virginia. I see it now, and at this moment here, you know, camp, training camp to preseason, you start to see your team form. You start to see what type of guys you have, who wants to be on this team, who doesn't want to be on the team, who's really focused and, you know, believes and we could take it all the way, and who's not. And I know the coaches see that too. And I mean, even though you might see a guy who loafs a little bit, but he's an outstanding player, but you got one guy who, you know, busts his butt every play, every time, but struggles a little bit with learning the system, learning the plays. And that's the hard decision what a coach has got to make. But us as players, you know, we also look beyond that too. I'm not saying the coaches don't look beyond that. We also look at character, how these guys are off the field, you know, because we want to make sure we have a team a team of guys who really doesn't cause too much trouble and put this team in a bad situation or this organization. So we look at that too as players off the field too. So we get to know each other and just to feel each other out. And also, are they going to have our backs on the battlefield? That's when it comes down to. Are you going to have my back? Can I trust you when we step foot on this battlefield?
And what would you rather have as a teammate? Do you want a guy who is incredibly gifted but maybe doesn't go all out but still helps win games? Or a guy who maybe doesn't have the God-given ability that others have, but he is giving it his all, play in and play out.
The guy who gives it all.
Because that's you. Not that you don't have great ability. You've proven you have the great ability, but that's how you've made your way in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean,
giving
I know,
it your all every day and overachieving what people expected.
Yes, I know I'm not the fastest guy. I know I'm not. But one thing I was blessed with was consistency. You know, good balance. Some guys say powerful. And I mean, I just say consistent.
Well, we hope that continues for you this year, and we hope the Saints achieve great things. We appreciate you taking some time.
Thank you, Mike.
All right,
man,
there he is, Pierre Thomas.
That was Saints running back Pierre Thomas, and talking about, among other things, how he could play a lot longer if he was playing quarterback and not running back. The guy who does play quarterback and who wants to play until he's 45 joins us after the break. Drew Brees coming up right next on PFT Live. Stick around. PFT Live continues here from Saints training camp, and we are rolling all of the various interviews that we did on Thursday. Here comes the franchise quarterback, the guy who says he's going to play until he's age 45, quarterback Drew Brees from Thursday here at Saints camp.
Drew, what's the best thing for you so far about taking training camp from Louisiana, bringing it up here to West Virginia?
Yeah, I think there's two things. Number one, the weather. There's only so much you can get done outside in Southeast Louisiana this time of year. So you come here and we get some cooler weather. I think we're just able to be more productive and get more work done. It's not so much about survival. It's more about, you know, execution. And, you know, we got a lot of young guys. We still have a great mix of, you know, veteran leadership, productive guys, but a lot of young talent that we're trying to cultivate and give reps to. So this allows us to maximize those reps.
You know, this is your ninth edition of the Saints, and each year is a different team. When do you start to get a feel for how this team may compare to other teams, specifically the 2009 team that went all the way?
Yeah, hard to do comparisons like that just because, you know, it's a lot of new faces. I mean, even from 09, 09 doesn't seem like it was that long ago. I mean, 5 years. And yet, I think there's only about five or six guys left from that team. None on defense, all on offense or special teams. So, man, it's a new team, and we have to create recreate the identity every year. But I love the addition of, you know, Champ Bailey, Jarius Byrd defensively. I think they bring a great element, a great attitude and swagger to our secondary and to that defense as a whole. Rob Ryan continues to do a great job. I love their aggressive mentality. It's tough going up against those guys every day in practice. Then you look at some of the young talent we have at the wide receiver position specifically. Of course, Brandon Cooks, our first-round pick, is coming along very quickly. I'm amazed at how he's been able to absorb and retain all the information that we've thrown at him. He's been able to play multiple receiver positions, and it hasn't seemed too big for him yet. Kenny Stills, Nick Toon, Andy Tanner, just to name a few. But all these guys, that's kind of what keeps me young too and rejuvenates me, is the opportunity to work with these young guys and kind of bring them up to speed with how we do things around here.
Andrew, ordinarily it takes a receiver 2 years, 3 years. For a lot of the guys taken in round one, never do they become as good as they're supposed to be. But the Saints, under your time here at quarterback, you've had Marcus Colston, big impact right away. Nick Toon, great impact last year. Brandon Cooks, high expectations. What's different about the Saints than every other team where it seems like it's a struggle for those receivers to reach their potential?
Well, I think there's a lot of things that we do just within the framework of our system and our concepts that gives them some flexibility just to get open. You know, there's the way that it's drawn on paper, on the blackboard, and then there's the way that actually happens in a game. Certain just little details, subtle adjustments that just allow them great flexibility, and it allows them to get open and get the ball. And I think they know that, they love that, and so they know that their opportunities will come throughout the course of the game. Even if the defense has the perfect coverage drawn up, we can get open and there's places to throw the ball.
Who fills the void created by the departure of Darren Sproles?
You know, I think that's up for maybe a couple people. Certainly the running back position, I feel like we've always been kind of running back by committee. We have all these guys have great talent, great skill set, and yet we mix and match them so much that it's you know, we keep defenses off balance that way. I think that we're, at times we have two running backs in the game, you know. Obviously, we do a lot of one back, we do a lot of two back. I just think we mix and match personnel so much that it gives all those guys opportunities. I think all of them can do a lot of different things. I think Pierre Thomas is one of the best all-purpose backs in this league, bar none. Protection, screen running, inside run, outside run, and then catching the ball in the backfield. Travis Cadet is a guy who has a great opportunity to fill that Sproles void, you know, in the nickel package and catching balls out of the backfield, and you know, even as a receiver, I mean, he can split out and he's dangerous. So that combined with, you know, Mark Ingram and Kyrie Robinson, kind of the hammers, we got some guys back there.
You know, I feel like nationally when people talk about the Saints, other teams get mentioned as better teams. Saints behind the Seahawks, 49ers, great quarterbacks. You hear Manning, you hear Brady. How much does that bug you? How much does it motivate you? And how much is it, hey, you know, we kind of like this. We kind of like being under radar. We like being where we are because we think we can surprise people this year.
Yeah. I think we're always our own harshest critics. We're always there to put pressure on ourselves. You know, we don't need that from anybody else. We don't need extra motivation. I'd say we're trying to be great. I feel like we've been extremely consistent over the last 8 years. But do I feel like there's room for improvement, and can we take it a step further? Yes, absolutely. The Seahawks deserve to be talked about. They're a great football team. They're the defending Super Bowl champs. The San Francisco 49ers, they deserve to be talked about. They've been to three straight conference championship games. And then obviously on the AFC side, the guys that are the teams that are led by quarterbacks Brady and Manning, you know, they deserve to be talked about every year because they're always contenders. We certainly feel like we're a contender as well.
Hall of Fame induction ceremony this weekend. Who's going to present you when you're inducted?
My mind's not even there.
Oh, come on.
I'm thinking about how I can stretch this career out quite a bit.
Well, that's
longer.
Right. You're not thinking about Hall of Fame because it won't be until you're 50 that you're in the Hall of Fame if you play till you're 45.
That would be nice. If I could be a first ballot at 50, then I'd take that. That means I'm playing until 45.
What do you think? Nuts and bolts, though. What do you need to do to be able to play into your 40s? At a high level. I mean, not just play and be able to play and be, you know, right, average, because you're never, I don't think you'd ever settle for being average.
Right, no.
What do you need to do to be at the level you're at into your 40s?
Well, I've said this. As long as I'm playing at a high level, I'm healthy and I'm having fun, I'm playing this game as long as I can. There's some elements that go into that. Some of it's just God shining down on you and, you know, you being able to stay healthy. And at times that's just, I mean, you're vulnerable in the pocket a lot of times. So, man, that's the guys up front. That's you. Getting the ball out on time, that's you, you know, doing the things that you need to do to avoid as much of that as you can. I'd say what you do off the field, I think you have to spend just as much time with recovery as you do as the actual work itself. And you don't learn that until you become a guy, I think, in your mid-30s, you know, which is where I'm at right now. And you start to find different ways to train, different ways to recover, different ways to maintenance, so that you can prolong this career and, you know, kind of keep that fountain of youth.
And you definitely seem to be having fun. You've got the competitions with the other quarterbacks yeah. every day. How did that come to be with the American Gladiators competition?
Right. Well, listen, we love to compete. And so we have a little board in our quarterback room that, you know, everybody's getting a notch, you know, for each time they win a quarterback competition. Typically, the guy who wins it from the day before gets to pick the competition the next day. And we've kind of had this, we've had this myriad of different types of competitions. At times, it's a golf cart, you know, cruising across the field with different targets on the back of it. At times, it's skeet shooting, you know, we'll take those discs and throw them up in the air, you know. I mean, it's just like you're sitting in the clay shooting deal going, pull, you know, they throw it up and you try to hit it. The American Gladiator one is one of the more fun ones. So we set up the stations. You have to run from station to station as tennis balls are being launched at you, and you have to avoid them. What we try to do, though, is make it to where, hey, there's some carryover to the football field here, right? You're taking live bullets, so to speak. You know, guys coming at you, you got to avoid and make them miss and do different things, and then get to the station, and you're tired, but yet you still have to deliver a ball accurately.
What would your American Gladiator's name be?
Mine? I don't know. It's like Nitro, and it's Blaze.
That was taken.
And
those are all taken. Be something
I don't know. I'm going to have to give that some thought.
All right, good. We'll check back in with you.
Cool.
Thanks for some time, as always.
Thank
Drew.
You,
there he is.
Appreciate
Drew Brees.
It.
That was Saints quarterback Drew Brees. He throws passes to a lot of guys. One of them is receiver Marcus Colston. He joined us on Thursday. We'll show you his interview after the break. For the final interview of the day, Marcus Colston joins PFT Live. We'll be right back. Entering year number 9, Marcus Colston, age 31. How's your body feeling? How much longer do you think you can keep playing this game?
Well, we'll take it a year at a time at this point. But my body feels really good. You know, just really being able to take the off season and really rest. You know, coming into camp feeling energized.
How you like this change of climate from training camp in New Orleans?
Oh, this is lovely. I mean, this kind of feels like, you know, some fall weather back down in New Orleans. So we're definitely enjoying you know, kind of a break from the heat.
Does it make a difference to get all the guys together and be away from home and be kind of pressed together for 2 or 3 weeks? Does that help with the whole idea of getting the team in the right place to go forward with everything it's trying to do?
I think it does. I think it helps, you know, build some of that camaraderie, you know, especially with the infusing the young guys that we have this year. I think, you know, this was a great move.
There's a young receiver, Brandon Cooks, first rounder. Everybody's expecting him to make a big impact. That usually doesn't happen for receivers. You're one of the exceptions. You came in as a rookie and you played very well right away. What made you different than most receivers who seem to take 2 or 3 years before they reach their potential?
I really think the situation has a lot to do with it. You know, this front office, you know, they're going to bring you in here with a purpose and, you know, with a vision. And, you know, my rookie year, I was able to fit right into that vision. And I think Brandon's going to be very similar. I think they chose him with a role, you know, that they envisioned him playing. And, you know, he's fitting right in and doing really well.
How much advice are you giving him? How much is he seeking?
He seeks it, you know, every play. You know, he's a guy that wants to learn, wants to be great. And, you know, you just love seeing that from a young guy.
How much do you think the offense is going to miss a guy like Darren Sproles this year?
I think we'll miss him. You know, he was a guy that produced at a high level for us for the time he was here. You know, I think the front office did a really good job of bringing in those guys that can, you know, kind of replace some of that production.
Drew Brees recently said that he wants to play until he's age 45. If he's still a quarterback, will you still be catching passes from him then?
That remains to be seen. That's a long ways away. I got to get to 32 first.
Well, and you're laying the foundation for some off-field stuff. You've owned an Arena League team in Pennsylvania for a few years now. How's that experience been for you?
That's been an awesome experience. You know, just really, you know, seeing the other side of football and, you know, really getting into the business side. It's been a unique experience, you know, really hands-on, and, you know, it takes up most of my off-season, but I enjoy it.
You ever consider throwing a helmet on and playing a little indoor football?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Those walls frighten me.
How much better would the team be if you were playing for it?
I can't see myself running into those walls, man. That's a different ball game.
How much better are the Saints now than they were last year? Last year, I don't know that people really knew what to make of the Saints, but good season. Playoff win on the road for the first time in franchise history. How much higher is the bar this year in your mind?
The bar is always, you know, Super Bowl for us. I think year two, you know, with Rob being on the defensive side of the ball, I think the infusion of young guys in this year, along with a couple vets in key positions, you know, I think we feel really good about, you know, this team, and we're just going to continue to work throughout this camp to get better and pull it all together.
You were part of the Saints in 2009 for the Super Bowl run, the Super Bowl win. At what point during that year did you know that this team is into something special?
It's funny, you kind of don't get that feeling. You don't get a chance to look back basically until it's all over. I mean, we were in it, and, you know, throughout the season, you know, you had different moments, the into the Washington game, you know, to come back down in Miami. But, you know, you just continue to put it together week in and week out, and then, you know, at the end of the season, you're able to look back and see what you've accomplished.
Any predictions, promises, guarantees for 2014? Anything? I'm looking to make news here. Anything?
No, I'm not the newsworthy guy. No, we're here. It sounds cliche, but you know that's the approach. We're here every day, trying to get better as individuals and just become a better team.
I'm looking for fights. Have there been any fights yet?
No, we're kind of boring, man.
Have you ever been in a training camp fight?
No.
What would it take for you to take a swing at somebody?
I've got
other than me.
Somebody got to take a swing on me first.
Well, that's a good answer. Well, we appreciate some of your time. Congratulations on all your success, and good luck this season, Marcus.
Definitely appreciate it.
And that's it. That's a wrap for PFT Live here from Saints Training Camp. Thanks to all the members of the organization who sat down for interviews with us. Thanks to you for checking it out. The Saints, a team that has plenty of reasons for optimism moving forward. We'll see how things work out for the Saints. We'll see you back on Monday for an edition of PFT Live from my normal West Virginia location. Until then, have a great weekend. Check us out around the clock at ProFootballTalk.com.